Have you ever had a civil discussion with someone you disagreed with or who had a different perspective than you? If you have, what did you learn? Here on The Moderate Review, we try to have these kinds of discussions. So, let's talk. On this episode of The Moderate Review, I am joined by Boyd Slater, Northern Ireland Humanist Coordinator for Humanist UK, and we discuss what humanism is and what they believe in. Listener note, this was recorded in July of 2021. So, let's talk.
I was actually been thinking about this today as to, you know, what is an unpopular opinion I hold. And I'm going to say an unpopular opinion to those people who maybe know me or don't know me so well, but know me or know of me, would be that I don't hold unpopular opinions.
Really?
Yeah, and I think a lot of people would go, here, no, Boyd, you definitely do hold unpopular opinions. And I know that some of the things that I work on might seem unpopular in some ways. Like some people might say, well, you campaigned on same-sex marriage or abortion rights. Are they not unpopular opinions? But in actual fact, the statistics show that they're not unpopular opinions. You know, some people might say, well, an unpopular opinion is that you do not believe in a deity. Well, the vast majority of the world, you know, in terms of their population, there might be a higher percentage of people that believe in a deity. But in the United Kingdom, 52% of people believe in a deity or don't believe in a deity. So it's not really an unpopular opinion. I think many of my opinions are based in evidence, and some of them might seem quite abrasive or something that people don't want to talk about, or they might be taboos, or that might be, you know, something that's somewhat hidden or not spoken about, but they're not unpopular opinions. So yeah, the unpopular opinion to those who might not my close friends or family, because I think they would recognize if I explained it exactly the same thing, but those who know me or are aware of me might say, no, those you definitely have unpopular opinions.
Okay, all right, thank you. I guess maybe going back a little bit for my listeners who may not know what you said by believe in a dairy, what do you mean by believe in a dairy?
A deity. So so a belief in a god.
Deity, deity, deity.
Yeah.
I forgot. My mistake.
Americanisms. What is it? Aluminium, or what is it? Aluminium. How do you say it over there?
Aluminum.
Aluminum. So deity. Yeah. So I guess I there's maybe I should start a game with rather than what the unpopular opinion is, but you know. What is that, what is my philosophical worldview? Because I think that's what you wanted to sort of speak to me about a little bit tonight. And my philosophical worldview is humanism. And humanism is really about, reason, evidence, and compassion, those three things. But they don't look to or sort of receive or want to, you know, there's no sort of thought of a deity, a creator. We are, atheists or agnostics, generally speaking, or at least in the sense of humanism in the UK. So so that, you know, some people may find that an unpopular opinion, but in actual fact, it's becoming a more popular opinion. And certainly, as I said, 52% of the population of the United Kingdom would be non-religious. So it's not, you know, it's not an unpopular opinion. Yeah.
Can you describe to me what humanism is?
The easiest way for me to sum it up to people is it's a philosophical worldview where you use reason, evidence, and compassion to sort of guide your moral outlook. And, you know, I truly believe that sort of morals are subjective, and you create your own path in that fashion. And so if you use those tools of reason and evidence and compassion, that should hold you in some good stead to make good life choices and hopefully give you sort of the tools to move things forward in a fashion which is, you know, good, I guess, you know. I think, you know, there's a lot of people who are who maybe don't understand what humanism is, or, you know, think of people who are non-religious as atheists, and then atheism doesn't say anything, and they're very right in saying that. Atheism is just saying, I don't believe in a god. You know, the humanism aspect is the bit which gives me my values in some ways. And then, well, I think I already had these values, but when I came across the term and came across the community, that was the thing that it felt correct for me, I guess.
You just described what humanism is, and you kind of briefly talked about the difference between humanism and atheism. Mm-hmm. And so I guess more of what led you to that, to, I guess, to find humanism?
Well, in some ways, I don't think I was led to it. Well, obviously, I find it in some way. Interest. It's been critical thinking and sort of skepticism and thinking about things in different ways has always been something that I've enjoyed. You know, from a very young age. You know, from the age of like 13 or 14, you know, when you're a teenager and you start to think about the sort of wider world and you muse with these things with your friends and you start to talk about politics as you come into your teenage years and you're 16 and 17 and you're discussing these things. I find that in those teenage years, what I find was a lot of people held very steadfast to certain opinions. And I find myself always playing devil's advocate for a very long time, you know, during my teenage years. And I think that put me in a very good position to continue the thought process into skeptical thinking and critical thinking. And I probably didn't form very solid opinions on things until I sort of came into my 20s and started thinking about things more. And no, this is what I do believe on this subject now, because I've listened to a lot of different sides of the argument and I've placed myself in that devil's advocate position to question, you know, just to put the other side of the argument forward, even if I agreed with somebody, what's the other side of that argument? So I think I sort of found a way for me to navigate life that felt correct to me, and that also, you know, that also at quite a young age made me, you know, believe that, you know, I'm an atheist, I don't believe in a god, and, you know, there's all these other things going on. You know, for some time when I was in my 20s, you know, I would have sort of campaigned against psychic mediums and, you know, people who homeopathy, you know, things that the sort of, you know, there's like alternative medicines, anything where people were trying to con people out of money and saying, oh, I can speak to the dead, you know, and that, for me, that's not true. You know, that's just not true. You know, there's no evidence and there's nothing that makes me believe that anybody can speak to the dead. And what you find is those sort of people prey on vulnerable people. And so there's an element of fairness and, you know, and calling out and that critical thinking and that skepticism thing. And then that, you know, as I said, I always knew I was an atheist. And then I heard the term humanism and I came across it. I started to recognize it. And I also started to recognize, you know, at that stage, you were getting into the sort of early stages of the internet where you could start searching for more stuff. And it was a case of, oh, there are organizations and there are other people that think like me. And there's, you know, over here's other people that think the same way I think about these things. Oh, there's a community. And then that led to me, you know, continuing down that path. And in Northern Ireland, the community was tiny to non-existent in some ways. And about 8 years ago, I put on some sort of public understanding of science events. And when I put those on, I'd come back from, I was living in Manchester in England, and I'd moved back to Northern Ireland, and I saw that there was a bit of a space there for like public understanding of science events. And I managed to secure two quite large people in terms of their popularity to come and speak at this event that I was putting on, and that was Richard Dawkins and Lawrence Krauss, who were sort of had, you know, quite a bit of fame and still do have quite a bit of fame behind them. And that those events that we put on with them sold out in like a record time. I think it was like 7 minutes. At the same time that we were putting on an event in a venue where Van Morrison was playing, and Van Morrison tickets were still going on sale 2 weeks later, you know, after ours had sold out. And we sold out our first round of tickets in 7 minutes. And we thought, oh, we can do another showing of it. And we put another one on and they sold out in 5 minutes. And it was that was the sort of catalyst for people to sort of step up, step away from their computers, engage with each other, find other people who had other, again, similar thinking and similar thoughts. And at that point, that was sort of the catalyst for at least myself and a number of other people in Northern Ireland sort of coming together, thinking about rights in Northern Ireland, thinking about religious privilege, thinking about freedom of religion and belief, and continuing that process to where Humanist UK, who are a large humanist charity that have been in existence for about 125 years, eventually sort of we were in talks, we were basically chatting with each other and said, like, you know, this Humanist UK really have the team and the support and all the good things that would need to further some of these things that are going on in Northern Ireland, which affect people not just who are non-religious, but really a lot of people from minority belief communities. So, you know, the things that affect us as humanists or us as non-religious people in Northern Ireland really affect people from minority communities like the Muslim community, the Jewish community, the Baha'i community, the Sikh community. And so, you know, many of the things that we would campaign for would be things that would, you know, are about making it fair for everybody. I mean, Northern Ireland, the challenge we have is that there's Christian privilege, and that's the only way to really explain it.
Because how you're describing more humanism, more of like, you know, you leave me alone, treat me with respect, you know, I do my own thing, you know. And so at least, I don't know if this is a thing in the UK, but I know in America, there's kind of a term kind of similar to that where it's kind of libertarianism. Go ahead.
No, you're going to say, how does it differ?
Yeah, how does it differ between libertarianism and humanism?
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I could understand, you know, when you sent me over the notes in this and you'd asked that question, and it was a good question to ask, actually, although an actual fact, maybe 20 years ago, before I came across the term humanism, I might have used the term liberalist, you know, in terms of liberal ideas, but only in that definition, in terms of having liberal ideas. I think liberalism, as it's probably coined, defined, and understood, especially in the United States, would be a bit more anti-government and a bit more stay out of my business, and maybe also, from my understanding, would be like, for, you know, the United States doesn't have a healthcare system like the United Kingdom. We do not pay for our healthcare. We you know, it's an amazing system where everybody is treated fairly and equally. It doesn't matter how much money you earn or do not earn. That's how that happens, and that's a great system to live under. I don't think libertarians would be completely in agreement with that. And so there's an element where, you know, libertarians, I'm also gathering, would be totally cool with guns and Second Amendment rights. Is it Second Amendment rights? It is.
Yeah, the right to bear arms.
And the Second Amendment rights. So I would say, wait a minute, there has to be some gun control, and I'm pretty much sure the vast majority of humanists, basing it on those philosophical principles of reason, evidence, and compassion. You know, if you reason it out and you use the evidence, well, the evidence suggests that, you know, there are a lot of people murdered in the United States from guns or guns that are being stolen and used by other people. There's also an awful lot of deaths through suicide from people who own their own firearms. If you wanted to reduce harm, then there must be some measure of control. And I mean, I don't know.
So thank you for sharing that. No, I'm
not a libertarian, sorry, just to clear up.
No, you're good. So then as we've kind of been talking a little bit about, you know, humanism in general, could you maybe describe maybe the history of humanism in Northern Ireland, the UK and Europe, and maybe possibly the world?
In a short answer, probably not. I can give you a very brief synopsis in terms of humanism in the United Kingdom. Humanist UK has been in existence for 125 years. This year is our 125th birthday. We've actually did a bit of work called Humanist Heritage, and you can find that online, and you can find that through our website, which is humanism.org.uk. And yeah, you can find the Humanist Heritage part of the website, which talks about 125 years of really humanists, ethical thinking, rational thought, skepticism, and sort of, you know, sort of non-religious thinkers and different sort of different people who might not have, you know, through history identified themselves as a humanist or said, I am a humanist, but certainly had humanist values in the things that they did or do. And so we sort of marked them on a timeline and had somebody come on to do a bit of work on that, actually. And while she was doing that, we were talking about the 125th anniversary of Humanist UK and how it was also the fifth anniversary of Northern Ireland Humanists. We've been in existence for 5 years now here in Northern Ireland, and we're thinking about, well, what does, you know, the last 5 years of Northern Ireland Humanists like look like, and how will we celebrate that, and can we have a little bit of look at the history of humanism in Northern Ireland? And certainly I could go back as far as, I think it's like the 1960s, where late 1960s, where there was like an Ulster humanist group set up, and there was like a Belfast humanist group, which turned into a small humanist group that's still in existence in Northern Ireland called Humani. It has a very small membership, but as I said, it's been there for quite a long time. And in actual fact, many of the sort of different people who were members and supporters of that small sort of organization, it was like, generally they would sort of meet for meetings and met and had talks about stuff. And it was very much sort of more of a highbrow sort of talking session rather than sort of proactive campaigning. And so they existed in that element, and there were different things, bits and pieces that had happened during that time, like humanists in Northern Ireland got the right to lay a wreath on Remembrance Sunday, so you know, remembering on Remembrance Sunday, so they would do things like that, and obviously since we sort of formed in Northern Ireland, we've taken on a lot of campaigns. We campaigned to have humanist weddings legally recognized, and we won the right to that. We campaigned in those things that I've already spoken about, like abortion rights, same-sex marriage, organ donation, the right to a dignified death. There are many things. Education is a huge topic for us, which we have been campaigning on and have done lots of work on lots of different areas over the last 5 years. And so we've achieved a lot in the last 5 years. But our humanist heritage coordinator, I met with her a couple of months ago, and she said, I've got some really interesting information here for you. She said, sort of that ethical thought and the very first ethical society, and the ethical society is where the humanist movement in the United Kingdom came out of. The very first ethical society was the Belfast Ethical Society, and it was formed in 1897. So like the same year that the Ethical Society in Humanist UK in England was formed, and it had slightly different roots. So the roots sort of humanism in England and Wales is much more academic, comes from a much more sort of philosophical philosopher type angle. And our ethical movement really came from and developed into our civil rights movement. It was more of sort of a radical movement, and certainly moved to through into the New Labour movement, as I say, the civil rights movement. And then I guess, again, it sort of, you know, it got in 1897, when that Belfast Ethical Society was set up, it ran for 16 years right up to 1913, and it ran every single week except for like a break in the summer, weekly, you know, with these weekly talks. And in actual fact, again, if you go to, I'm not sure if these are on the website yet, but I will endeavor to make sure that they are on the website because they're really interesting. But You have a list of every single talk that happened between those dates, and you have write-ups in our local papers about them. And they're, some of the topics are amazing. You know, they're talking about, you know, they're talking about things that we're still having debates about today, you know, it's interesting. And what I would like to do is that I would actually like to have a go at recreating every one of them, you know, going through them and going, let's go through every one of these. But yeah, lots of really, really interesting talks that happened there. It ended in, as I say, 1913, and then sort of got revived again in the 1930s. And there's, you know, quite a deep history of finding writings in, you know, humanist humanist publications during the 19th century and early 20th century from people from Northern Ireland, and so it's something quite new to me in terms of finding out that there's an even richer history. So that's about as far as I can go in terms of that. And when it comes to sort of worldwide or further afar or afield. Yeah, I mean, humanism and humanist organizations really exist in nearly every country that you can think of that they can legally exist in. There are hundreds of humanist organizations all over the world. Many of them fall under the umbrella of Humanists International. Our chief executive to the organization I work for is Andrew Copson. And if I'm right in saying, and I hope I am, he is also the chair or chief executive of Humanists International. And Andrew Copson is, and some of his books are things that I would maybe suggest that your listeners maybe have a look into. He did a really, really good book on secularism, and it's quite a short book. And it's in my room here somewhere. And if I can find it, then I can remember exactly what the name of it is. It's something like A Short Introduction to Secularism, but his name is Andrew Copson. And then he also helped with a little book called The Little Book of Humanism, and that is Andrew Copson and Alice Roberts.
So I guess kind of as this interview is kind of winding down a bit, what are some kind of misconceptions that you or fellow humanists get?
Well, the biggest one is that we're anti-religious, or that we want to take people's religion away from them. I mean, specifically, I mean, again, because I'm from Northern Ireland, it would be, you know, we want to rid Northern Ireland of Christianity, which is just not true. And I think, that would be the biggest misconception. That would be the biggest thing that people would sort of rally against us. They would think that we were anti-religious. But I think if they actually engage with us, they would recognize that we're not. And in actual fact, the vast majority of religious people who do engage with us know that we're not. That would be the judgment people would probably make about me or humanism that would be incorrect. But we're always open to talk to people about these things. So again, if there's somebody from Northern Ireland listening who, yeah, maybe hasn't come across humanism or has that sort of element of fear of it, reach out. We'll be happy to talk to you about it. And the other thing is, we're not here to proselytize. That's the other thing, you know. We don't do proselytizing. So this is not me saying reach out and I'll convert you to humanism. It's just, if you're frightened of what it is, you know, let me put your mind at rest. There's nothing to worry about. You know, I want equality for you as much as I want it for me and everybody else. So that would probably be the main thing. And then I guess the other thing that's bugging me a bit at the minute, and I guess it's why I maybe mentioned Andrew's book on secularism, is that there's a real misinterpretation of what secularism is. You know, it's seen as this aggressive, nasty thing that, again, is trying to rid people of their religion. And you know, when you look at secularism and you think about it in different demographics or different places geographically, it is actually very different. You know, secularism in the United Kingdom and I think, although I'm not 100% sure, I think in the US as well, is really about freedom of religion and belief. You know, freedom for you to be able to hold the beliefs that you want, but for them not to have any sort of privileged place. You know, that's exactly what it means in the United Kingdom. But if you go to somewhere like France, I mean, even just in recent days, I think was it in France recently in a European country, I believe it's France, they banned the burqa. You know, is that not state enforced secularism, and just stops being secularism to me once the state enforce it.
All right, and then my last question I have is, and you kind of already mentioned this before. If any of my listeners wanted to learn more about you or humanism, where could they go?
For myself, generally speaking, you're best following some of our social media. So Humanist UK's social media on Facebook and Twitter is always very active. Our Facebook page for Northern Ireland Humanists. Now, if you were to search for Northern Ireland Humanists, you might find a couple of different pages. Ours will be the sort of largest following one. So the Northern Ireland page is followed by about 10,000 people. Our UK page is followed by about 250,000. If that's what you're looking for, and you can find out what we do, and you'll regularly see me quoted in the articles that we put out there on the work that we do. And the lots of different types of work that we do. I think, you know, I didn't actually get to mention, you know, and I should mention that, we offer a lot of community services as well for the non-religious. So, you know, we offer the weddings for people to have. We offer non-religious pastoral care in hospitals and prisons. So to give parity with, you know, chaplains organizations, we have school speakers that go into schools and talk about ethics and human rights and what humanism is. And again, in a non sort of proselytizing way. So, you know, there's lots of our materials out there. You can find actually these, some of this, I should go through these a little bit slower. So yes, you have humanism.org.uk, which will be our main website. You have a website which is called understandinghumanism.org. Understandinghumanism.org is a massive amount of resources for teachers and students and parents that talk about humanism and human rights and have ethical questions. There's also a website called Assemblies for All, and I believe it's assembliesforall.org.uk. You'll be able to find it from the other pages. And it gives you like calendars with lots of different dates on it for different events that happen throughout the year that cross over and allow for lots of children to come together and discuss them. So we have a problem in the United Kingdom and Northern Ireland that our assemblies are religious. So there has to be a Christian element to it, and it's actually written into legislation. These are assemblies that are about politics and the environment. And yes, they do touch on religion, and they touch on, you know, science and philosophy and lots of things. And they're really, really good. So there's some really good materials there that I would suggest people could have a look at. Yeah, and then, as I said, our social media is generally very active. We also have a YouTube page, which has lots of really good talks, and it has lots of good information that comes from our events. I mean, if people want to get in touch with me, you know, you can contact info@humanism.org.uk, I believe it is.
This concludes my interview with Boyd. Boyd and I had a wonderful discussion on a variety of topics which sadly could not be included in this episode. But mostly what stood out to me was Boyd's desire to campaign for equality for all, regardless of one's religious affiliation. This has made me think about my thoughts and impressions towards Black Lives Matter. Generally, I agree with the ideas that policing and attitudes towards minorities needs to change, bad police officers should not be police officers, and that the law should apply equally towards everyone, regardless of race or ethnicity. Please don't interpret my sympathies for Black Lives Matter as me condoning the rioting and looting that took place. However, with Black Lives Matter, and I'm sure with Humanist UK, a lot of people agree with the general ideas they are campaigning for, but are unsure or totally disagree with how to implement those ideas. Because of this, it is much more important that we do our own research and find out what works and what doesn't, so that we could be part of the solution and not the problem. Until next time, I'm your host, Jack Taggart. The views expressed in the Moderate Review are solely of the individuals participating, and not necessarily of the organizations they are affiliated with. If you enjoyed what you've heard, please tell your friends, and please follow us on Twitter at TModRev, that is the letter T, ModRev, one word. Until next time, I'm your host, Jack Taggart.